Well, good morning. It's so good to be here with everyone this morning. And I want to begin by thanking the elders for the opportunity to bring a message of God's Word to the saints here. We have truly enjoyed worshiping with the saints here over the last month. We've enjoyed many friendships with the saints here over the last year and a half that we've been in the area, and we're thankful for that. And we're thankful for the encouragement and the prayers that we've received at this stage in our life, and what's going on with transitioning for us. And we thank you for that. And this morning, something I want to talk to you about is I want to talk to you about spiritual blessings. More so, blockades to spiritual blessings. In fact, I want to ask you, I'm going to ask you two questions this morning, really, before we get going. And one of them, the first question, I'm not going to ask you to answer, not even raise a hand or anything. Now, the second one, I'm going to ask you to raise a hand if you agree with this. But I want to ask you all this morning, is there anyone here that wants spiritual blessings? Is there anyone here that wants spiritual blessings from God? Now, see, I'm not going to ask to raise a hand because I'd say that I'd be surprised. None of you do. But here, I will ask you, is there any of you that don't want spiritual blessings from God? Then go ahead and raise a hand. No? No? So everybody here does commonly. We want to be blessed by God. We want spiritual blessings from God that He has for us. Yet many times we find in life that there are spiritual blockades to this. That these blockades to spiritual blessings, as we read this morning in our scripture reading of Ephesians chapter 1, we see, though, mainly that it's God's will that we, His children, as His children, that we be blessed both physically but especially spiritually. Does God want us to be blessed? That of what we see there in Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3 specifically speak to this when Paul starts out by saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus. And we might as well just replace that right away and put with the saints here at Northside in Conway, Arkansas. That He wants us and faithful in Christ Jesus. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has what? Who has blessed us. Who's us? You and I. Those that have chosen Him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in making Him our Savior, our King, in choosing His Father as our Father from here on out, that we may be blessed, bless us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God and Christ, they intend for us to be blessed spiritually. To have all the blessings that we may deserve and need and have. Yet, however, we as human beings, the human side of us, as we examine our lives, often we see that for one reason or another, we really don't have the blessings that we should have. Maybe we haven't been getting blessed in our life as we should be getting blessed. And when this happens, is the human side of us, human nature, the first thing many people want to do, and the first thing sometimes even we want to do, is we want to blame God. And we want to blame everybody else around us rather than taking the blame on ourselves. And wondering, what have I done? What have I placed in the way of receiving what God so desires for me to have? Yet, the reason for this is that when we accept responsibility, that when we can own that we have put a blockade between us and God, we have put a divider up between us, that when we take this responsibility for the lack of spiritual blessings in our lives, then we may reveal that either there is sin in our life that is stopping this, that is putting a barrier between us and God, that somewhere that we have either placed this blockade or we have allowed even a blockade to creep into our lives, into our spiritual life, to be placed between us and God and His blessings that He desires for us to have, that we see in verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. That He so longs for us to have. That in view of this, we want to consider some things this morning. We want to consider the subject of blockades, of what could these blockades be, these blockades to spiritual blessings that we want. And not only what are they, but how do we remove them? How do we get rid of them in our lives so that we might be blessed by God as God wants us to be blessed by Him? How can we do this? Well, that in the first blockade that we see that stands between us and God so often is selfishness. That selfishness is a blockade to spiritual blessings. That selfish people in general, as we know, selfish people, they only think about what? Everybody else? No. They only think about me, I, myself, what I want. Selfish people only think of themselves. That of what we even see there in Luke chapter 12 and verses 17 through 19. Beginning in verse 17 of Luke chapter 12 says, "And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?'" Now some are going, "Oh, I know this. I know this parable, Chuck. I remember this parable. This is of the rich farmer that had the bumper crops. He had a great time." But he says, I have no room to store my crops for this harvest that he had just plentifully gathered up, harvested up. So he said, "I'll do this. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many good things laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.'" Oh, but we see in verse 20, God says, "Bah!" But God says to him, "Fool! Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." That here he thought he had everything he needed, that he had done all these great things. He was going to have what he needed for a long time to come. He was so involved with himself and what he had done and forgetting what God had actually blessed him. God had given this to him. And he destroyed it all because of selfishness. He blockaded himself from what God really was doing for him. And many times in selfishness, we do that to ourselves and putting up a blockade between us and God. That individuals that are selfish, that when we are selfish, we show a lack of love for those who are around us, for those that are going through situations around us that need our love, that need our comfort, that need our encouragement. Because when we're selfish, we're just tied up in me and what I want, what I need. John speaks about this in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. He says, "But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" How does it? It doesn't, does it? It can't. Because there's, once again, putting up that blockade. And then, of course, there's the law of sowing and reaping we know of, don't we? That whatever a man sows, so shall he reap, is very applicable here in selfishness. That of what we see in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 and 8. There, beginning in verse 7 of Galatians chapter 6, says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Now, if we're being selfish, if we're one of these individuals and this blockade to spiritual blessings for us is selfishness, we can't be sowing seeds of the Spirit, can we? Of righteousness, of goodness, of God. We're not, because we're only sowing seeds that matter to me, to what I want, what I need. And they never turn out good, do they? They never end up right for us, do they? So one blockade that we can place before us and spiritual blessings from God that we're desiring, that He's desiring to give us, is selfishness, self-centeredness. And we need to blow that out of the way. We need to do away with that if we desire to have the blessings that God's desiring for us. Yet the second thing that is a blockade between us and spiritual blessings is prayerlessness. It's not having the kind of prayer life that we need to be having as Christians, as disciples of Christ, children of the Most High Heavenly Father. Prayerlessness is a blockade to spiritual blessings. Since all spiritual blessings come from God, it makes sense that if we never take time to speak to God, to go to God, and petition Him to bless us in our lives where we need blessings, to ask Him to be with us where we need Him to be with us, to give praise and glory and honor unto Him where it needs to be given, then how do we expect to obtain these spiritual blessings from God? We have a loving Father. That is no question and no doubt in any one of our minds. At least I pray it's not a doubt or a question that any of us have as Christians. For He loves us. He desires to bless us, as we saw earlier in Ephesians chapter 1. But we also have a Father who desires to hear from us, to know what's going on concerning these blessings in life, just as much as we do our earthly fathers. I don't know about you, but you can ask Holly, you call my dad up, and I call him all the time, picking his brain, wanting information. A man that's preached over almost 44 years of his life, spent in the pulpit. I love picking my father's brain and knowing more. And I just love talking to my dad and gaining some more spiritual knowledge through him. But even more so, my spiritual father, my heavenly Father, He wants to hear from us. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you." In verse 8, "For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds, and him who knocks, it will be open." But if we're not having the type of prayer life we need to have, if we're not going and asking, if we're not seeking, if we're not knocking at that door, we're never going to get a response. We can't expect not to ask for what we need and expect to just get it, and then sit back and wonder why we didn't get it, because we never asked. We never were seeking after it. We never took the time to knock at that door to see if it would open for us or not. He wants us to have these things, but He wants to hear from us. He wants to hear how your day's been. He wants to hear if you've been blessed. He wants to hear if you've had a struggle. He wants to hear from you. But if we're not having the type of prayer life that we should have, If our prayer life's even just consisting of making it a routine, prayer should never be a routine. It shouldn't be something that we wake up and go, "Oh, it's morning time. I'm going to pray at my breakfast. I'm going to pray at my lunch. I'm going to pray at my dinner, and I'm going to pray before I go to bed." Oh, Christ talks about in Matthew chapter 6 about going, drawing into private places, secret places, even spending time alone with Him, humbling ourselves before. Are we doing that? Are we taking time to truly humble ourselves during the course of the day? We all fall short. There's days I fall short that just things, you know, yeah, it gets busy. But we always need to be finding time for the Lord, of going to Him, of thanking Him, of asking Him to be with us, in asking Him to be with those that we know and care about, those that we see suffering. How is our prayer life? Prayerless people are also disobedient people, though. That in this, it's because of our failure to ask for things that we will not receive these blessings ever. Even that of what James chapter 4 and verses 2 and 3 speak of, beginning in verse 2 of James chapter 4, says, "You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight a war, yet you do not have, because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures." Think about our prayer life. Maybe you're going, well, Chuck, I have a good prayer life. I pray to God multiple times a day, not just meals, not just at bedtime, maybe not just when I wake up in the morning, but I find time to pray to God. And a lot of it's even in how are we seeking Him? How are we asking? How are we knocking? And what are we knocking for? Kind of like those that you hear around you in the world and from place to place that say, oh, well, you know, I keep asking God for $1 million, but I haven't gotten it yet. Keep asking God for that new, brand new luxury car, but I haven't gotten it yet. I don't know why. How are we asking? What are we asking for? Many times He's answering, and we just got to see it. Got to know what's going on. Jeremiah even indicated that prayerless people would not prosper. There in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 21, he says, "For the shepherds have become dull-hearted and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered." When he says not sought the Lord, they haven't been going to God. They haven't been talking to God and asking for what they need. And it's because of the dull-heartedness. They didn't think they needed Him. What do we see throughout the Old Testament? The children of Israel, life was great. They loved God. They were in communication with God. They did what God wanted them to do. And they were blessed greatly. And then they go, look at what all I've done. Their selfishness would creep in. Look at what all I've done, what I can do. And then they say, I don't need to talk to this God anymore. What ended up happening? How many times did they end up in captivity as slaves and even many times being drugged from their homeland? Until what? Till they knew how to go back to God in prayer, how to be blessed once again. Many people set blockades of prayerlessness between themselves and spiritual blessings without even knowing it. As I said a minute ago, many times I get it, we get busy. When was the last time, I ask you this, when was the last time, answer to yourself, honestly, truthfully, but answer to yourself. When was the last time you had a good prayer? And I don't mean that just the wording was right or, you know, everybody, that it was just you and God. And you emptied yourself before Him. You let Him have everything. When was it? Hopefully it was very recent. Hopefully, maybe it was this morning. How many of us have even, let me ask you this, hopefully I'm not the only one. I know Holly's told me she's done this too, but at night, going to prayer. I tell you, right before you go into sleep, worst time to say a prayer. Because especially if you've had a long day, you tend to just drift off into sleep. Because I tell you, you're feeling so comforted by your time and in discussion with God. You just kind of drift off to sleep. How many of you just wake up in the middle of the night going, I got to finish my prayer. I didn't finish my prayer. Oh, I've done it many times. And then I always think, why do I do this to myself? There's better times that I could be having this in-depth prayer to God that I'm not drifting off. But we do it from time to time. We need to have a good prayer life. And when we don't have a good prayer life, we're setting a blockade between us and God and the blessings He desires for us to have. So if we are not being blessed as God would have us to be, let's take a look at our prayer life. See how we're doing in that. See if we're going to Him as much as He's desiring for us to go to Him. Yet the third blockade that I want us to see this morning is worldliness. Now you're probably going, oh, no surprise there, Chuck. That worldliness is a blockade to spiritual blessings. Now, whether we admit to it or not, worldliness truly reveals the inward life of a man or woman, a child of God. That of what we see in 1 John chapter 2, there beginning in verse 15 through verse 17, says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Where is our love? Where is our true desire? Is it in the things of this life? Is it in the things that we can touch and feel and hold on to now? Are we trying to gather that up to what we need? Because John is saying that the love of the Father is not the person who loves the world. That if we love the Father, then this world means nothing to us. It's great, it's grand. We do what we have to do to get by and provide a decent life. Nowhere does God say, go starve yourselves to death. Don't have. Once again, in remembering that all blessings come from Him. Not to become selfish with look what I did. Look at the rich farmer that said, look at the crops I had. Look, I'm going to tear down my barn. I'm going to do this and that. I did. Now I can sit and eat and drink and be merry and have fun in life. Not recognizing God. Now you're not going to God in prayer and asking for that. Shows worldliness creeping up in us, becoming that blockade to us. Because the Father is not in the person who loves the world. Because no man can serve two masters. We can't serve God and today on the Lord's Day and then leave here and say, hey, tomorrow I got to go chase that almighty dollar. That's what I'm going after tomorrow. But today I won't. Sadly, I know many Christians that live a life in the belief that there is a separation between being a Christian and being a businessman. That God has no place in the business world. That's sad. Or that God has no place in the endeavors that we have outside of this assembling of His saints. That's just worldliness creeping into us, causing blockades. But in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, Christ says, no one can serve two masters. No one. He didn't say, some can. He didn't say, well, with enough practice, yeah, guess what? You can serve two masters and you can make both masters happy. He says, for he will hate the one and love the other, or also he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Why can we not serve both? Because it's impossible, isn't it? We know that. That in this, worldliness is a blockade to God and to God's blessings to us. But it's a blockade because it's not something that pleases God. Worldliness is not something that God goes, yeah, go out and be the old man or be the old woman that you were before you came to me. This is what we see in Romans chapter 8 and verses 5 through 8. Paul speaking here, he says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. We are in enmity with God if we are living in the flesh. If we are chasing after worldliness, we become His enemy. Enemy. Excuse me. Kind of become that outlaw, that renegade that we shouldn't be. And it places barriers between us that we cannot possibly in any way think that we can be worldly minded and being pleasing children of God and still please God and still receive His spiritual blessings. We can't do it. No matter how much we tell ourselves we cannot. We just can't. Worldliness separates man from God. And we know that. And to think otherwise is foolish. James addresses this in James chapter 4 and verse 4. Says, adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. How are we doing with that? Do we have a blockade of worldliness in our lives? Are we wondering right now, sitting here this morning, going, you know, I don't feel like God's blessed me in my life as maybe brother or sister so-and-so that I see. You know, I always see him so cheerful through things. And here lately, I just don't feel that. What's the blockade? Is it selfishness? Is it a prayerless life? Is it worldliness that's creeped in? Whatever it may be, we need to be looking to them, to removing them from our lives. Yet the fourth thing I want to see is that unfruitfulness is a blockade to spiritual blessing. Unfruitfulness comes from abandoning Christ. From even that of kind of worldliness. We say, oh, I have Christ, but I'm not doing anything for Him. I'm not sowing the seed. I'm not doing my part. As seen in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 4 through verse 8, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, this being Christ, and ye are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Yet if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. If we have unfaithfulness in our life, then we're not producing. We're not growing in faith. We're not being that of which we're called to be. We're not abiding in Christ then. If we're not abiding in Him, then we most definitely have a blockade. We have a blockade that will remove us from Him. And I don't believe that anybody wants to be removed from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Since all spiritual blessings are in Christ, they come through Him, through His Father, we cannot expect to be blessed unless we are faithful in Him. That of what we see even in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 14 and 15, says that if anyone works which he has built on, it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. That if we are being faithful in Him, that no matter what happens, even when we're tried and we're tested, if we are faithful, we will be blessed. We will come through. We will be better than we started off by that. Yet the fifth and final thing for us to see this morning is that unfaithfulness is this blockade. It, according to Paul, that unfaithfulness is just as bad as unfruitfulness. It is sin. It separates us from God in many ways. That Romans 14 in verse 23 tells us, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith. For whatever is not from faith is sin. That we have to have faith in all that we're doing. That anything that we are doing that is not provoked by faith is sin. And if we are committing sin, how can we expect to be spiritually blessed by God? Now, of course, this does not mean that if we occasionally sin, we cannot expect to be blessed. But if we persist to do the same sin over and over again, not seeking forgiveness for it, not seeking to change what we're in that separates us from God, that when we stay in a sin, this makes us unfaithful. It removes us from God. And in that, we have no reason to expect whatsoever any spiritual blessings in our lives. That unfaithfulness, it robs the Christian of the crown of life, the greatest spiritual blessing that we could ever receive. That of what we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 6 through 8. Says, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, And not only me, but also to all who loved His appearing. How are we in this? Where are we at? Are we running the race? Are we being strong and faithful in it? Are we getting up when we stumble and seeking the forgiveness that we need? Are we making sure that on that day when He appears, will we truly be glad to see our Lord and Savior? Or will we shudder in fear of realizing that we've been unfaithful? We've placed spiritual blockades in our lives that have separated us from Him. Where will we be with this? Unfaithfulness cannot please God. It is not pleasing to Him anyway. We see in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. We cannot just be that of giving lip service to Him. We cannot be that of just saying, well, I do good acts, I do good deeds. Matthew chapter 7 speaks to that when Jesus says that there'll be many that say, when did we not do these things in Your name? Or we did these things. But He says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder for those who diligently seek Him. It takes faith to diligently seek our God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not something that can be done easily. It's not something we do even just at a whim by any means. Yet in closing this morning, there are numerous blockades besides that of what we've looked at this morning, more than just these five, but these five are probably the most uncommon blockades that come in to our lives as Christians and stumble us in receiving the blessings that God so greatly desires for us to have. That of what we saw in Ephesians chapter 1. That we need to remove these things. That if we're desiring blessings from God, then we must do what we can to make sure that, A, if these blockades are there, to remove them. B, to make sure that they never reappear or come there in the first place. But I ask you in closing this morning, do you have any blockades in your life? Do you have blockades that you need to have removed? If so, then this morning right here and now is the place and this is the time to ask for the prayers of the saints, to ask for encouragement, to ask to be uplifted, to ask to be forgiven if you need to be forgiven. Or maybe this morning your greatest spiritual blockade is that you haven't become a child of God yet, a disciple of Christ, a servant to the one true King. And this morning you desire to do so. We have the means available here this morning to assist you. If it be needing the prayers of the saints, needing encouragement, or needing to obey the gospel, and being entering into this fold for the very first time. If you have a need this morning, we encourage you, we beg of you. The saints are here to love you, to restore you, to encourage you, and to bring you into the fold. If you have that need, make it known this morning as we stand and sing the invitation song.